Welcome back to another episode of Four Insight. I am your host, Mike Obi. Another familiar face joining me this week. You guys have seen him on here before. My guy, Marcus Tavares. What's up, man?
Yes, sir. It's good to see you, man. I'm glad to be back on. Anytime we can talk about sports or Houston, I'm all for it. So let's get started, man.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, first thing is Houston, we have some major issues going on, man. It's crazy what's happening. No, but we'll start off with the Rockets, man. The end of an era. Last week, we made a trade for James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for four first-round picks, four pick swaps. We got Victor Oladipo, a good young player who's shown some promise. And in exchange, you know, we gave up basically our center stone and our all-star. But just talk about what you felt about the whole trade.
Mixed emotions for sure, because James Harden is my favorite player in the league by far. But it was long overdue. I think it was a good trade for everybody involved, especially James being at this point in his career. It's pretty much done. Anything you can do when it comes to NBA basketball, being an MVP, getting all the accolades and everything, winning games. But that one thing he hasn't done is win a championship. And looking at the roster as a whole, he's just being honest. Like, they just weren't good enough to compete, especially against the Lakers and some of the teams in the West. I like the team that we have. Christian Woods is a rising star in the league, but he's not there yet. He's not an Anthony Davis. He's not a Giannis. He's coming, but he's not there. John Wall, I mean, he's playing good so far, but I don't know. But just collectively as a group, I just knew it would be a competitive team. It just wouldn't be the team. So now he's in a better situation with Brooklyn. And as you can see, James Harden is James Harden, triple-double in his first debut game. So that team's going to be scary. But I like the trade. It was good for the Rockets. Got some good picks. And we can probably turn in some good players. So we'll probably end up trading those picks instead of just drafting people. But I think it'll turn out well.
So yeah. You know, as far as the haul that Houston got back, just speaking from a Rockets perspective, since I'm a fan of theirs, yeah, I like it. I mean, we were able to get four first-round picks. I mean, Daryl Morey, when he was here, traded all of ours that we had in our disposal to try to improve the team around James. So the fact that we were able to get that gives us flexibility. You know, the GM, Raphael Stone, just talked about that today and why he did the trade in that manner. You know, we got fellow Nigerian like myself and Victor Oladipo back on the team. He's dealt with a little bit of injury history in the past couple of years, but you know, I think as long as he can stay healthy, he's a good explosive young guard who can score the ball really well. Him and John Wall, that partnership I think will be interesting. Then that you have a four spacing big and Boogie Cousins. And I like kind of the team that we have despite what has happened and how many trades we've had to do and us dealing with cap situations. I think the team we have, you know, you're the one who put me on Christian Wood, you know, way, way, way back. And I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, definitely. He's a good young player. You know, he has some solid promise. I think as long as he's been able to get more burn, I think he'll be good for us. Now, you're bigger on James Harden than I am. I'm not that big of a fan of James Harden. It's just what it is. He could score the ball. I give him respect in that regard. But I think us trading him, I mean, really was indicative of a bigger problem, which was that, in my opinion, I felt like we spoiled him. I mean, it's just what it is. Look, we got him here in 2013. Now, where I'll give him his credit is that he made the Rockets relevant in his time here. You know, he made the game exciting. He was able to put fans in the seats. So he was definitely a draw. But I just think you brought him Dwight Howard. That partnership didn't work. You got Dwight Howard left. You had Kevin McHale. Kevin McHale held him accountable. Kevin McHale got fired. Then you brought in Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni doesn't know how to coach defense to save his life, but he unlocked James's game. James led the league in scoring. So, I mean, but the thing was, and me and you have talked about this before. Before Mike D'Antoni, James had a much more versatile game. When Mike D'Antoni got here and they said, look, we're going to treat you like we did Steve Nash, only you're going to score the ball more. I mean, I felt that, you know, while he was going to lead the league in score, it kind of limited his game and limited the team, right? And then, you know, we brought him a crime partner in Chris Paul. Now, I remember back when we traded for Chris Paul the first time, it was like, you know, everybody was so excited. I was like, bro, I hated it because that gave up all our depth. I mean, we had Lou Will on the team. We had Montrezl Harrell on the team. We had Pat Bev. I felt like, honestly, they panicked because of how badly he played in 2017 against the Spurs. And that's really whenever I lost my respect for James. I mean, it just was what it was. That was bad. And, you know, he really never in my opinion, changed my opinion or changed my thoughts about him. But, you know, they went, they got him Chris Paul. Then that didn't work out after 2 years. Chris Paul got hacked. You brought in his boy, Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, they lasted, I think, what, one season? And then Russell Westbrook.
I didn't like it. Was the Russell Wilson trade. That's the only trade I didn't like. The Chris Paul trade, of course, I didn't like that we gave up a lot of depth for him, but it ended up working. And you have to remember, Chris Paul didn't play for like 2 or 3 months, and James had to carry that team. He went, I forgot how many games it was, scoring 30 points, but I think James just got tired of having to do that, especially in the regular season, because if James doesn't play the way he does, if he's not the playmaker and scorer that he is, the Rockets aren't making it to the playoffs. The Rockets aren't going to do half of the things that they did, and I think he did help Houston be relevant the years that he was here, and he made us a contender just him playing the way he did, but I think he just got burned out because we were one game away from beating the Warriors and probably winning that championship. I do believe they beat Cleveland if they're healthy in that year, just because that same Golden State team gentlemen swept LeBron in the finals. So the fact that we took them to 7 games healthy, their team being healthy was pretty good. But the Russell Westbrook trade is the only one I agree. That one should have never happened.
The only thing with the Chris Paul trade, why I said I didn't like it was because at that time, Chris Paul had been getting hurt at least, I think, for the past 3 years in a row. He had had some type of hamstring or some injury ending season.
That's something.
You know what I'm saying? And so he always had something. And then I knew once we traded for him, we were going to have to pay him because that was a contract year. So then I was going to put us in a bind with our salary cap. That was more so why I didn't like the trade. I love Chris Paul, the player. You know, he's one of the best.
I love him. Good game manager. He's, especially in crunch time, just every possession matters, and he gets the best at every possession. He just knows how to win. You saw it last year with OKC. That team had no business in the playoffs, but the Chris Paul being Chris Paul, you give him the slightest chance, he's going to close those games for you. So definitely I'd rather have him than Russ for sure. But
yeah, I felt that the only thing that team from 2017 that won 55 games and had Lou Will and all them, I just thought that they needed one more ball handler. I thought like a guy like a Rajon Rondo or a Tony Parker could have done well. Yeah. They would have been much cheaper. That was the only reason why I wasn't feeling the trade. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we made it. We had a good run, but then Chris Paul got hurt. And then the next year, you know, they're having the little
30s. That game too, like the second half or fourth quarter, whatever it was, but that was ridiculous.
Choke shot, man.
We still,
yeah, and only lost by single digits. So definitely, I mean, that team had a chance. But I remember saying it's a bunch of dudes at the gym. Even at that time, I was like, if we don't win it that year, that's our best chance. Because at that time, everybody was going to catch on to what we were going to do. D'Antoni doesn't know how to adjust to save his life. So I mean, that's why I'm like, yeah, that's it. And then on top of that, I knew that we were going to have to pay Chris Paul, which means we weren't going to bring back a lot of the guys. We didn't bring it back Trevor Ariza. That was big. We didn't bring back Moutse. Those were two of our best wing defenders at that time. So I just thought that it would have probably made us better in the moment, that Chris Paul trade, but it would have capped us going forward. And sure enough, it did. Now, just looking ahead, though, so we talked about the Rockets. You know, definitely they've been able to wield out a competitive team. We'll see what they do the rest of the season. But now looking at the Nets and your guy, James Harden, and you know, him pairing up with KD and Kyrie, how do you think that's going to work?
I think James is going to be more of the point guard. I think D'Antoni and Nash are just going to let him handle the ball. I don't know how Kyrie's going to feel about that, but I think they're going to be like, Kyrie, you're going to be a scorer. Like, you're still going to get his touches and his shots. I think James is going to defer a little more to those two. Especially KD, because KD just doesn't need the ball for much. He can just pull up and rise. But I think if I'm the Nets, I'm trading Kyrie. I'm trying to get pieces on the bench or at least another defender or somebody else on the team. But I don't want Kyrie. I'm not messing up what they have, because it'd be deadly to see all three of them play together. But I just don't know how it's going to work. I think they'll be able to find out and figure it out. But Kyrie's on his own timetable right now and doing his own things, and basketball is not his priority right now. So
yeah, he's still away from the team. I mean, again, I hope everything is going good with him, and you know that he's at least healthy. If it's something, you know, we don't know what's going on, but I think that's the problem, right? The uncertainty.
Yeah, but I still think he can handle it a little bit better and tell his coach, tell the front office staff and everything kind of what's going on, instead of just leaving him out in the open not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, and we don't know. Maybe they are telling them, you know, we don't know what he's telling them behind closed doors that they're not disclosing to us. But still, it's the idea of, you know, optically, it looks kind of fuzzy. We don't know what's going on. But I think if all three of them are able to get on the floor, it'd be interesting to see how James and Kai really are able to work out, because both of them need the ball. Now, Kyrie may be a better shooter than James. I mean, depending on what you feel. But yeah, definitely KD being able to play off the ball and his versatility in the game, I have no problems. And I don't think that him and James will have any problems. So they'll be an interesting team. But yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, you got to get Kyrie out of there and just try to trade him for some pieces. But we don't know how that's going to land with KD. The whole reason KD is in Brooklyn is because, you know, Kyrie's his boy. So, you know, we'll see how that dynamic works out. But yeah, definitely. I mean, we have our newest big three in the league, and we'll see how they're able to kind of navigate the season. And are they going to get to the finals? And we won't know who they'll face out in the West. I mean, the Lakers are looking really good, but the Clippers, you know, they're, I think, under Ty Lue, starting to come together. The Nuggets, you can't count them out. They started off a little slow, but they're coming together, and we won't know what's going on. You know, this is an interesting season, to say the least. But just wrapping up, at least the Rockets' perspective and just the aftermath of it all, I think, you know, what it comes down to is that James Harden was definitely a player that, you know, made us relevant here in Houston, gave us some great nights, some good scoring nights. But in the end, you know, I just think that we weren't able to reach our full potential with him just because the organization kind of over-enabled him. You know, there is – you can make this comparison really with multiple players. But if you even look at a player like a Giannis, right? Giannis doesn't complain about nothing. He just goes out and plays, you know, company guy. And, you know, he kind of lets the front office be the front office. He just kind of plays and does his thing. I think maybe if James Harden had taken a little bit of that instead of kind of coming off as a guy who, you know, my way or else I want this guy traded, you know, that's how it looked to me optically. And I think that kind of hurt us in the long run. But what do you feel?
No, I mean, he definitely could have handled it a little bit differently. And he even mentioned that in his press conference, his first one with Brooklyn. So, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it turned out well for everybody. Houston has a bright future. James is happy, and that's honestly what was more important to him. So I'm glad to see him happy again, see him winning the hoop and just have a be happy about his situation. So, I mean, it worked out. But he definitely could have did things a little bit differently, and it was definitely out of character for him, I believe, because he's proven not to be that way that he showed us these past couple weeks.
Right.
You can always count on him to show up and play. He just wants to hoop and never really had more than a couple of days off, like from injuries or anything. He's pretty durable. So, but definitely had a character for him, for sure.
Yeah, I wish they would have kept Caris LeVert in the trade, since, I mean, looking at the whole thing, they gave Caris LeVert to the Pacers. I would have rather seen him be R3 and just see how he would have worked out. I understand we got another pick in it, but, you know, I think he'd have fit better.
We got four picks for LeVert. We got eight total.
Oh, yeah, sure did. So
I think they're looking at LeVert. They know he's good and he's up and coming, but I don't think they have him as high as people think he is. Like, I don't think the Rockets organization pictures LeVert as like a Jason Tatum or somebody of that caliber that's going to eventually rise and be like that dominant in the league. So they thought, you know what, we can get some more picks, we can turn that into something and go after a player like that we think could take us to that next jump. So I think that's why they honestly traded him, because you get an all-star in Victor Oladipo. His contract's coming up, so we can also let go of him too.
That's true. Yeah, I look at more
assets for us to make some moves down the line. So I agree with what they did. I understand it.
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, I have no problem with it. You know, at least looking at the big picture, like you said, Oladipo's on a contract here. So if he doesn't play that well, or if his injury ends up hurting him, you know, and hampering us, then we can just let him go. And, you know, now we have more cap flexibility. That's one thing me and you talked about, was that now we kind of are alleviated of a lot of concerns. I mean, the only big contract we have on the team now is John Wall. I mean, Eric Gordon makes a little bit of change, but I mean, it's not what we were dealing with and what we had. So, you know, again, I have no problem with what we did. Now, going over to our other problem in Houston, the Texans. And, you know, the situation with Deshaun Watson, you know, right now he's unhappy. you know, another Houston great, you know, came out and spoke against the organization and basically, you know, advised Deshaun to hold his ground and to, you know, still demand a trade or at least one out. Now, and I think it speaks to a bigger problem, which is that especially with the Texans, you know, we've seen a history of them mismanaging players, getting rid of the wrong guys. You know, the one most recent example, I mean, really, there was Dwayne Brown. He spoke out against the owners, you know, talking about the inmates shouldn't be running the asylum. Bob McNair and them traded him the next day, then traded away two first rounders for a guy who really isn't that much better than him in Laremy Tunsil. You know, I remember when we got rid of Kubiak, I remember when we fired him back in 2015 or 2014. You know, Matt Schaub had thrown like four pick sixes in a row. We start off the season slow. We fire Kubiak. Kubiak goes to the Broncos, takes his whole staff with him. They win a Super Bowl. So it's little stuff like that where I'm just like, you see, this is just mismanagement of the organization. But just talk about what you think of the whole Deshaun Watson situation and the Texans as a whole right now.
I don't blame them, man. Texans are a joke. They've been in for the past who knows how many years, man. Like, the fact that Bill O'Brien is gone makes me feel better about the future. But after that Hopkins trade, that was honestly the straw that broke the camel's back. I was done.
Oh, yeah.
Did not represent Houston Texans at all anymore.
Yeah, but you're a trader. You went and you joined the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm Watson. I'm trying to go to Miami. I'm trying to go to San Francisco. I wouldn't want to go to Chicago.
No.
At two spots, East or West Coast, whatever. I'd rather go there.
Yeah, I think if you're Deshaun, do you go to the Dolphins or do you go to the 49ers? Who do you prefer?
Oh, 49ers. With Shanahan, that's over. The league better pray he doesn't go to the 49ers offense. And with that defense behind them, when they get all their players healthy, this year wasn't as good. They're still a middle-of-the-road defense, but when they get their players back, they'll be top 10 again, or at least top 5.
Yeah. Gosh, help them. Gosh, help them if he goes to the 49ers. And just oh, my goodness. But then again, the 49ers, they lost to DC. Salah, he went to the Jets. So, I mean, how good is
he? He's a good coach. He seems like a really good coach. He can definitely motivate his guys. So, I really don't mind the Dolphins winning it either. They're going in the right direction.
What's your trade demand if you're the Texans? If you're Casario, the new dude that just hired, what's your trade demand?
At the very minute, I want the two first-round picks for this year's draft they have. I want Tua as an insurance policy in case I don't get a quarterback that I want in this draft. And maybe like a second or third rounder, just like three picks and Tua. I'm good with that.
You don't want to trade them to the Jets and get the number one overall pick? I think the Jets have three firsts, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's like number one, number 23, number 30 or something like that. Like, they have quite a few picks and they have cap space. So, in terms of if.
But it just. That's Jacksonville. Think about the Jets. I don't know too much about the Jets organization, but I don't really see them letting go of their second pick. I think they'll probably just stay pat.
I think they got number one. That's Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Urban Meyer and Jacksonville. I'm thinking if they were to trade their number one pick. But Urban Meyer is there, and I'm pretty sure he sold on Trevor Lawrence. So that's not changing at all. If anything, it would be the Jets not wanting Justin Fields and getting Watson instead. But if they're the Texans, that.
Yeah, and you don't want to trade Deshaun in division either. I mean, because.
Yeah, you do that either. And plus, Deshaun is a top five quarterback hands down in this league already. So I honestly don't think any of those other guys in the draft this year are going to be as good as Deshaun, even Trevor. Like, Trevor looks like he's good, but. I don't know. I got to see a little bit more.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a tough situation being a Houston fan of any sports. I mean, you know, Deshaun, we've mismanaged him, and he's been really good for us. JJ, they're talking about letting him go. We had Andre Johnson. We couldn't do nothing with him. Yeah, like you said, once they traded DeAndre Hopkins, I was like, okay. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I'm a Houston fan simply because I was born in the state of Houston. I mean, the state of Texas, the city of Houston. But outside of that, it's tough being a fan of theirs. I'd rather be a Houston fan than a Cowboys fan. But, you know, that's besides the point.
Yeah, Dak Prescott got hurt. It was hard being a Cowboys fan. So now there's only teams left in the playoffs. I'm a Packers fan. I've always loved Aaron Rodgers, but now I'm rooting. Aaron Rodgers right now in the Packers.
Facts, facts, facts. But it seems like, you know, the only team that really in Houston that is showing some, you know, semblance of proper management was the Astros until what happened with them, you know, and them getting knocked with the cheating scandal. It seems like everything is going away here, you know, and we're about to lose George Springer from what you talked about. So,
yeah, we're definitely not moving in the right direction with that organization. But, I mean, I can accept that knowing that we at least got over the hump. We won a championship. They can't take that away from us. So I'm glad we were able to get that. But it's going to be a while until I feel like we get back to that point. Losing Springer is definitely not going to – doesn't help. He's an all-star caliber player. And while we do have young up-and-coming talent like Kyle Tucker – you got Alvarez. We have good pieces, but collectively as a group, I think our bullpen needs to be a little bit deeper in order for us to make another run.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we'll see what happens and what the future holds, but definitely, you know, the ship has to be steered. But I think the big lesson with all of this that we're seeing with all these teams is that it takes both the players and the organization doing their part. You can't rely solely on a player to just fix an unstable organization. I mean, not even the greatest players can do that. And, you know, it takes the organization doing their part. We can't, you know, expect – you know, one side to not, you know, put up there under the bargain. It takes full stability. You know, the team.
Yeah, the everybody's team. Age.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I think also you can't be petty when it comes to doing business. You know, we saw that happen last year or 2 years ago with the Pelicans, and they didn't want to trade away Anthony Davis. And you saw how that, you know, kind of messed up their organization. I think the fact that Rafael Stone, once he noticed, okay, this is about to get out of hand, he just pulled the trigger. And he, you know, kept them moving. You know, I think that's what you just have to do when you're trading players. You can't, you know, rest your laurels on, ooh, nope, we're going to play hardball because it's just going to make the situation worse.
Yeah.
But that's a wrap for Inside Podcast, episode 36. I want to thank my guy Marcus coming on today once again. Appreciate you, Bar.
Yeah, of course, man. No problem. Anytime, man.
You can catch this episode on all platforms, streaming podcasts, as well as YouTube. Appreciate y'all.